Whitehurst in the shotgun. Ready. Takes the snap. Back to pass. Up in the pocket. Fires down the middle. That is caught at the 45-yard line. 3 seconds. 2 seconds. 1 second. It is over. What a comeback in Tennessee. The Browns have come back and they have won it. 29-28.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
That will never get old, will it?
That will never get old. Jim Donovan on the call there as the Browns wrapped it up and found a way to win. And that is all it's about. It's a pass-fail league. This is a pass. As I say in golf, no pitchers on the scorecard. No, it wasn't always pretty. Yes, we got some unbelievable bounces in the game. Flag wiping out an interception that would have ended the game. Flag wiping out a fumbled punt that probably would have ended the game. But so what? That's what I say to the naysayers. The Browns got it done. And good teams or competitive teams always find a way to get it done. And that's what the Browns did here. So I am certainly not going to take that away from them in this day or any day coming forward here anytime soon. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm with you here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. And, of course, it is Monday and a victory Monday. And we're going to go to the phone lines in just 1 second. But because it's Monday, remember this. Hey, Dog Pound, your team made 10 game-changing plays yesterday, which means your game-changer multiplier is 11 times today only at Horseshoe Casino Cleveland. Make sure to get to Horseshoe today to redeem your game-changer multiplier 11 times as the Browns get the victory over the Tennessee Titans. 216-578-0850 to get on board here with Matt and myself. And before we get to those phones, though, Ken Carmen just tweeted me, my man KC, and he says, you know what, that blitz at the end, the nickel blitz with Kaywan Williams, one of the biggest plays, that took a big set to call that, and he certainly is right. Said he could quote me on that, so Ken, I have quoted you. Yes, huge play call, and unbelievable job by Kaywan to disguise it. A lot of times on that nickel blitz, you see them cheat, peek, peek, peek. He didn't. Stutter stepped, boom, and he was in there, saw the right lane. And on that play, you said we had him scouted perfectly. We knew that the tackle would fan out on the end. There was the alley and a huge sack from Kaywan.
You're right. There's a couple ways you can run that blitz. You can have all your defensive linemen all obviously like stunt to the right and bring Kaywan off the edge. But in most cases, that tackle is going to pass that defensive end down and fan on him. But what they knew is, again, and this is the scouting, and this is, again, a credit to Jim O'Neill or Coach Patton, whoever called this defensive blitz. But again, we knew when we stunted our tackles, our inside guys down, and had that end go off the field, the guard would go down with the tackles, that end would fan out, and it opened up what was like the parting of the Red Sea for Kaywan Williams to run through. And again, like you said, his timing, he wasn't early. He got to show, because in some cases, if you show that early, that guy he's lined up, that slot receiver points him out and says, hey, be careful, here he is. And they changed the protection, which would have stopped the blitz. Great timing, great call, great execution.
Great victory, and let's go to the Dog Pound now. Reggie in Youngstown, welcome to the show.
Hey, fellas, good to be talking to you guys and stuff.
Good to be talking to you on a Victory Monday, Reg.
Thank you. Hey, fellas, tell me something. You know how I feel about Browns. That's my guy all the way. And I think our offense is in cruise, man. They're playing fantastic. I just sat back yesterday, guys, and kind of laughed to myself, man, because the Browns' offense is playing fantastic. I just can't believe it, how good they're playing. I'm so proud of them guys.
You're right. They're playing out of their minds.
Absolutely. I'm right with you all the way. Hey, but what I'm concerned about, fellas, you guys, tell me this. What's going on with the defense? Hayden playing terrible, man.
So
he's playing terrible. Guys, what's happening with that right there?
We'll start with the offense. Offensive line, phenomenal. Hoyer, decision-making, excellent. Accuracy, excellent. Some big-time throws there to bring it home. Ben Tate in his first game back rushes for a career-high 123 yards on 5.6. The offense is great. Defensively, though, Matt, we said we were going to be fair in our coverage here today. The defense.
It took us one segment to get there.
The defense continues to struggle the first half. They did not keep contain on Jake Locker. The coverage was bad. A lot of times guys would be locked on islands, poor decisions, big pass interference, although that ball was uncatchable. You can't convince me otherwise on the one on Joe Hayden. Double move on Buster Screen for the big touchdown to Justin Hunter. Hayden not getting enough depth on his drop on that corner. corner throw there, which was a pretty quick read for him. Should have been able to get back there. The defense, though, just not getting it done. And really, again, another game where they gave up a lot on the ground. Now, some of that was Locker early on. He rushed for 34, but ultimately they gave up 149 yards, 5 a pop. Now, Locker, though, did the damage, and so did Kendall Wright, who had the 38-yard jet sweep. Other than that, though, the running backs were all held under 3.5 yards per carry, so that was better. But what's going on with this defense? What do you see that this defense needs to work on and work on quickly?
My best assumption of at least, and I'll touch upon the, you know, Locker having success scrambling, and what it is, it's a disconnect between the defensive line and the back end coverage. Okay, and what that means is, in my eyes, and I'll have to evaluate it as I watch the film and watch the game again, is it's what type of coverage are we playing in the back end that allows there to be that much margin with no eyes on the quarterback? You know, not a spy, not anybody in zone. So in my case, I'm left to assume that they're playing some type of man defense, which means if everybody runs down the field, they're all chasing them with their back turned. That's them on the back end. So the disconnect on the front end then is, it's they're running some types of stunts up front that is allowing all of them to end up wadded up in one side, or a collapse of one side, and it's opening up an end, which, and in some cases, yes, Locker chose to run the ball in some cases, but as we've seen with Brian Hoyer, is to extend that play and wait for guys down the field to get open and get into some of those windows, or break open away from their man as well, which can hurt you throwing the ball. But Locker in this case just chose to take, hey, I'm going to go get 8, 10, 12, 15 yards at a time and keep these drives moving. So it's a disconnect between the stunts and the coverage.
It seemed to me that when they did a good job of getting off the field, it was when we didn't really sell out to blitz or rush. We dropped, made them check down, and then came up and tackled. That seemed to be more effective, because there were still plays when it was third and long situations where people were being left on islands when it might be at times unnecessary to do that.
Right, you're right. And that's very easy to do, Nathan, when you're in third and 8+. You know, line everybody up at 6 yards, let them catch the ball in front of you, and you come up and make that aggressive tackle. In some cases, as we saw later in the game, it was third and 10, third and 12, third and 15, which is very – so then you're lining up at 8 yards. They're catching a 6-yard route, and they're having to still get another, you know, 8, 9, 10 yards to get a first down. But I think what I saw early was we have a lot of guys on islands, and I know that this scheme, you know, by Coach Pettine and Jim O'Neill, causes for guys to be in one-on-one situations, and it's the aggression, it's and then we saw it in the Hayden play on the little shoot screen, you know, right out to I think it was Hunter, and Hayden had him, you know, and funneled him. Mind you, I know you're gonna say, just go make the tackle, right?
No, he funneled it back. Kirksey overran it.
Kirksey, no, I know that, but it's Hayden's gonna get a plus. I would have liked to see Hayden close that gap. And again, with the fact that he's not going to run outside, but then make that vice tackle. You know, instead of expecting him to run back inside and have Kirksey make the big hit, let's make a vice tackle. Let's go, you know, someone's going to get the tackle.
Wrap him up
and just make the play and you know, be aggressive. But too many times we're left on an island to make plays in space. And right now we're taking bad angles and we're tackling bad, which causes for those big chunk plays.
And I also think that the defensive line, to your point about what's going on behind them, needs to maintain their integrity and their spots. Sometimes you'd see guys roll back to the inside to try to get to the quarterback, and that left lanes for Locker. With a guy like Locker, you just want to contain him and make him throw you the football. Let's go now to Drew in Michigan here on a Victory Monday on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. What's up, Drew?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Oh, I love Victory Mondays.
Me too.
This is so awesome. I just wanted to give props to the receiving corps because, you know, I mean, well, Josh Gordon is pretty much irreplaceable. Those guys did a great job yesterday, especially Travis Benjamin. And do you guys see Benjamin's role maybe changing a little bit? Because he was just phenomenal yesterday.
You know, I think that in some ways we may be seeing the end of Travis Benjamin, the punt returner, and the beginning of Travis Benjamin, the full-time receiver. 3 touchdowns now on the season. Made some great adjustments on his routes on both touchdowns to kind of peel back and give Brian Hoyer somewhere to go with the football. Lost his defender in the process. Huge plays. He had the touchdown against the Steelers. It's now 3-4 games for Benjamin. A big 40-yard play against Baltimore 2 weeks ago. So he's been a guy who's made an impactful play every game as a receiver. I'll tell you what. This is who the kudos. First of all, the offensive line allowing time for everything in this system to work. The scheme itself is creating situations where these receivers are able to win repeatedly despite their lack of size. it's just been well schemed up. Brian Hoyer has been phenomenal with the football in terms of making the right read significantly more often than not. Good ball placement, good accuracy, diagnosing what's there, taking it, and making the throw. He's been great. And these receivers have been great. Each week, somebody continues to step up. You had big Andrew Hawkins games. You have big Miles Austin games. You get big plays from Benjamin and Gabriel. They continue to thrive. Jordan Cameron, only 3 for 33 in this game, and yep, the passing attack put up 292, 3 touchdowns, and averaged 8 yards attempt. You got to tip your cap to these receivers, and the amazing thing is, only Benjamin was even drafted in the NFL. Miles Austin not drafted. Gabriel undrafted this year. Andrew Hawkins undrafted. And yet they – Brian Hoyer undrafted. Isaiah Crowell undrafted. And yet this offense is thriving.
You have to love it. And again, to make a point about Benjamin, it's like – and those two touchdowns were high balls. He had to go up and get them too. So it's not like they're just thrown right to him. And I think the one thing for me personally and just about that laundry list of players is we're not talking about drops. You know, these are guys that we've all had questions about, you know, going into this football season. How are we going to survive? Even if Hoyer played well and he's delivering the ball, can we rely on these guys? And the fact that we're not, we're giving them praise. That, you know, they're not dropping the ball, you know, in those situations where we always feel as Browns fans we're set up to fail. You know, oh, we're not going to be able to make that play. You know, and like earlier on the show, listening to RBS, it was like, Tennessee was that team.
They were. I was sitting there thinking it. I was like, if I was a Titans fan, I would be sitting here thinking it felt the way to me that it would feel for many of those Browns games where, you know, we're just, why are we not? They're giving us every opportunity to win this game, and yet we're not winning it, and it's going to come back to bite you. And we got all the breaks, and not breaks, there were flags on the plays, but everything went the right way. Yes, I was sitting there thinking we're going to win because when the game is the exact opposite, we lose. So it felt like we had to win because they were doing things like that would have been Browns things of years past.
Exactly. And I think also, too, is for me personally, as I've talked last week about Charlie Whitehurst, once he got in the game, I'm like, all right, with Locker playing at the level he was playing, completing the balls, our inability to stop him from rushing, or extending the play, I'm like, oh, this is going to be a long day for us. But once Whitehurst came in the game, my optimism went through the roof. And once I think, again, as you
well,
said.
Well, after he settled down and threw those two nice touchdowns right out of the game, I'm like, what is going on?
Well, like I said, as you and I mean, the one in the corner was a great throw. Again, the coverage was bad, which I'm sure we'll get to before the week is over. But also the second one, either of us could have thrown that double move. I mean, it's not hard to throw to a guy, you know, 10 yards open. But then I'll say this, Charlie started to settle down, and he just became more of himself.
Yes,
you know, more of what we know. Check down his inability to extend the play, which Locker was doing. His inability or confidence to throw the ball down the field into those tight spots, which Brian Hoyer does extremely well, and we've seen so all year long so far.
Yeah, make no mistake, that injury at quarterback loomed very large in the Browns' ability to come back and win this game. Let's go to Jerry in Canton now. Jerry, welcome to CBD.
All right, thanks, guys. The game. I was kind of worried that, you know, the layoff was going to get them, man, and they seemed to bounce back. I was happy about that, considering how Cincinnati did as well. You know, there were a couple teams that had that bye, man. They kind of, you know, didn't get going until late, so I'm glad that we did shake that off. But what kind of worries me, though, man, is Mingo. Maybe you guys can shed a little more light on that. I just don't think he's heavy enough, man. He does not appear to be 240 pounds, man. If he's 235, 230, I'd be surprised. And the same with Ataba, man. It looks like Ataba Rubin has lost quite a bit of weight. He looks like he's about 290. Those guys, they need to maybe put Rubin back on the edge again and put Taylor inside. I don't know how Taylor is doing. And Ben Tate, he had a great game, man. He kind of had a sneaky 100 yards, man. You know, I kind of looked up and they said he had 100 yards. I'm like, wow, it's pretty impressive. You know, I hope they can keep it going, but, you know, that just kind of, you know, things that's kind of worrying me, man, and hopefully, man, they can get that all fixed.
Yeah, I wonder how much of a factor Barkevious Mingo's shoulder is. He only played 23 snaps in the game. He was out at the end. They had Eric Martin in rushing in that spot. That attempted tackle on Jake Locker was not going to be on his highlight reel anytime
soon. Or lack
thereof
it, yeah.
Yes, so I don't know. Barkevious Mingo his struggles are continuing. There's no question about that. You saw that in this game. I think Ataba Rubin, again, continuing to have a tough time a little bit at the point of attack. Could be the weight loss. But I thought he also made some good plays as the game progressed and really started to lock things down. As I said, the running that was effective for the Titans over 75 yards and the touchdown was Jake Locker and Kendall Wright. The other 75 yards, they didn't even average 3.5 yards per carry with the running back. So I thought it was the best we've seen our run defense be. So Ruben was much better there, which certainly was good to see. We got to take a quick break. We're going to keep the phone lines going here on this Victory Monday. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by
Liberty Ford.